I just wanted to share a little bit of what I experienced the last week with you. So I just thought, when I was in Zambia in a court called a town called Choma, when we're doing the offering similar to now, and people from everywhere just start coming in, choirs and choirs. They were just singing and clapping hands onto God and just worshiping, singing. And it continued and continued for hours. People were just worshiping God. And the good news is we're going to sit hours and hours for eternity to worship God when we go to heaven. And it's going to be different ways of worshiping. Some are going to stand still and some are going to dance. And we're all going to be welcomed before God. Isn't that amazing news? So I just wanted to share some of my experience of what happened with me in Zambia, because God really spoke to me in a very amazing way, and I met amazing people there. They're very similar to the Zimbabwe people, very friendly, very homely, love the Lord. The people love God. There's 5-6 churches next to one another, and they all worship God on Sunday. So the spiritual atmosphere is completely different to here in South Africa. There's sometimes like a heaviness where we are, but there's openness, and you can see God's blessing because people worship God. Now, when we as South Africans go to a place like that, and especially the pastors, when they preach, they go and they're very strict, and they bring the word, and they're very serious, but the people there, they love God, and they will just go, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They will stand up, and this one pastor came there, and he preached, and then this young guy, very zealous for God, very eager, he would get up, and he screams, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And this pastor came to him later on, and he said, listen, I will buy you a blanket if you don't interrupt me during my sermon anymore. So the guy says, no, he understands, he will not do anything. So the pastor is preaching. He's preaching his heart out. And the next moment, this guy jumps up and he says, blanket or no blanket, praise the Lord. So we were just talking about blanket or no blanket the whole trip through. Duvet or no duvet, I'm going to sleep tonight. And we were just, that was the joke that we had the whole weekend. But I had to fly to Livingston or Joburg, Livingston. I tried to, in Livingston, I tried to swap my SIM card and my phone got blocked. So now I'm quite worried because I've got to get on to a bus. And this bus is going to take me to Choma and I don't want to sleep. I've got no ways to know where I'm going. So I haven't prayed in the Spirit so much that God, I thank you that you might protect. Because if I get lost now, where do you go? I can't phone, I can't SMS, I can do nothing. So I get there. This man, Daniel, he's the administrator for Word of Life Church in Zambia. He picked me up. I stopped. I got there about 7 o'clock at night. We had something to eat. The next morning, 6 o'clock, we woke up. 9 o'clock, we did pastor's training until about 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we showed the Jesus movie. And we showed the movie to a point where Jesus gets crucified in the movie. And as they bring him up like this, we stop the movie and we do an altar call. And then we say, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And but the gift of God is everlasting life. And we share what God is, who God is. And then we say, if you want to respond, you must come forward. And then all the first three, the children, they come. And then it's just children standing there. They do the covenant prayer. Sinner's prayer, they go and sit. Then the old people come forward and we pray for them. And then we take them in and we get them their names and we tell them four things. We're saying, you must read your Bible every day. You must pray. You must become part of a church, and that's where you grow to get discipled. And you must tell people about what Jesus has done for you. And that's what we do. So the next night, this one girl, her name was Patricia. She's an evangelist. She brings them by the hand and she comes to me. He wants to give his heart to Jesus. And I ask him, do you want? But he's smelling of alcohol. And I said, you know that sin destroys you. He says, exactly, exactly. And then I'm saying, but you know drinking is sin. Exactly. I don't. And I'm okay. I let him pray the sinner's prayer and I pray with him. The next day he's there. He's excited. God has done something in his life. So many things like that happened. And then what I saw that went with it, when many people are getting saved like that, God's power is there. when there's sickness, this one lady came and her knee was sore and her ankle was sore. She couldn't walk. So I pray for her, and in the name of Jesus, I command the pain to go in Jesus' name. Amen. So how does it feel? She goes, ah, it's healed. And oh, but my ankle. I said, I haven't prayed for your ankle yet. So I pray for her ankle, and then she's, So many miracles like that just happened because God's presence is there. But then this one man came, and he was screaming, his stomach. Now I thought, is this a demon, or is this man just in pain? So I go, and I put my hand on him, and I, Lord, in Jesus' name, I command this pain to leave. God, in Jesus, and I say, thank you, Lord. And he goes, and he jumps up. Now I'm like, what the heck is going on? This was incredible. It's just incredible how God changes lives when people are getting saved. And they come, and they come, and they come, and they bring friends to get saved. And it was really amazing. And then Sunday, Anton preached a sermon. I asked him, Anton, can you please come and preach that in our church? And he says, I don't think I'll be able to do it that way again. But what he was saying, my last sermon here, he added on to the sermon that I preached. And I remember if I shared with you this vision that someone very close to me saw about a train that was coming in, and the people were waiting on their luggage. They were waiting for this train to come, but many people got agitated. They got onto the wrong train, and this train left, and they left with the trains that wasn't there. And the three things that stood out, that in our waiting, our spiritual senses are growing, are getting stronger. We're becoming strengthened. And when that train comes, we could hear it far before anyone else could hear it. And this train was amazing. It was really, really amazing. And then I read to you in Acts 1, verse 3 to 5, that he, Jesus, presented himself alive to them after suffering many wounds, appearing to them during the 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the three things that I said that stood out for me, the suffering. After the suffering, there's an active waiting. And then out of the active waiting, the promises of God is given. And that many of us, we're in this time where we're waiting for the promises of God, but we have to hold on to what God wants to do. There's an outpouring of God's Spirit that He wants to do. He wants to change lives. And but this active waiting, I realize, is more than what I said. So I want to just expand a little bit on what I said about the active waiting. Verse 6 said, they had come together, Acts 1, verse 6 to 8, they had come together and they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We want to know, when is it the end times? When is God going to do this massive thing? When is He going to destroy this world? And Jesus says, don't worry about that. Great power will come upon you. I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and it will cause you to be witnesses. And what I just realized, that when we witnessed about Jesus, when we talked about who Jesus is to get saved, the power of God followed that. It wasn't because of the great things and revelations that we had about God. It was because God's heart is for the saved, or is for the lost to get saved. God has a desire for people to know Him, and He will do mighty miracles for people to know that He's a real God. But it starts with a place where we witness about who God is. And this word witness means I tell, I talk. When you go to a court of law, there's a witness to tell the account of how it happened. And I just know that God is saying to us, He's giving us the power to witness. But the thing that I realize is the Holy Spirit has been given to us already. And because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, we have already received the power to witness. So we as a church many times get, as a church, I'm talking about the global church, get frustrated because we're not seeing the power of God. But I believe it's because we're not witnessing. we're not telling people about what Jesus has done. We're not putting ourselves in that position where we are so dependent to see God move so that people can get saved. And that's why we many times do not see how God's power come through in this place. Verse 14, I said there was an active waiting. They came together. They were one accord. They devoted themselves to prayer together with the women, the disciples and of Jesus. They were devoting themselves. So last time I just said there's a one accord, there's a unity in our diversity, but there's a waiting on God to bring the power of God. And when Anton came, he preached on this, and he talked about a good waiting and a bad waiting. There's two types of waiting. You can wait for something that's not going to come, but then there's a good waiting. And he said, if you're going to have a baby, is that a good waiting or is that a bad waiting? That's a good waiting. To have a baby is an amazing time. But there's things that goes with the fact that we're having children. And the husbands can only identify it in one way, by feeling sorry for their wives. When that morning sickness is there and you go like, oh, she's not feeling well. You say, oh, liefie, jammer. I didn't do that, though, with my second child. I made jokes like, oh, no, being pregnant is not so bad for me. I never got sick once. And then when Christian, Lynette got pregnant with Christian, I got sick. I was sick for a week. And my wife laughed at me. She said, yeah, die Here straf jou. I ate my gestraf and it was painful for me, because being sick, when you wake up in the morning, it's hectic. I feel sorry for the wives, but Anton was talking about this thing where when this baby is being born, there's an expectancy in our hearts, and we prepare the rooms, and we think of names, and some people go and look and see, oh, it's a boy or a girl, and then they get disappointed because that was in Holstring 3 years for the mamas, papas. But we want to know, because we want the names and we want to be sure that this baby is going to achieve many, many things. But then there comes a point, and I don't know, you know, Jan Brak, when was Jan? He's not here, but his wife was having a baby. Is he there? Hello, Jan. I'm going to embarrass you. When their one child was born, it was during that flood in Vergelegen. And I asked Jani, so Jani, when the water came in, how deep were you standing in the water? I thought she was like here, but she said no, she was standing here when Caroline was having her baby. And I saw an interview where Jan was speaking to the burger, and he said to them, ja, toe my vrou sê die water het gebreek, het ek nie dit verwag nie hoor. So, so there was just water everywhere, but there's things that happen before a wife is going to have this baby. The water breaks, and she will have these cramps where she goes, and it's hard for the men. We don't know what to do, and we pray in the spirit and we pray in your tongue, but it doesn't work, and your wife is in pain. And then they go, and you go to the doctor, and then there comes a point, and Anton explained it well. He's got 5 children, and he said all his children was born natural birth. But then with one of their children, his wife had an epidural. Say epidural. So she fell asleep. She fell asleep and she couldn't wake up. And it was time for the baby to be born. And he tried to wake her up and he said, Christel, jy moet druk. And she's like, huh? She doesn't know where she is. Because it was time for the baby to come. There's an active waiting. She had to push. And if the mother is not pushing, the baby will not come out. And he said sometimes when that mother is pushing, she roars like a lion. And the dad holds the hand and he's squealing like a pig. So Anton had me laughing and he had me crying. But there's an active waiting for that baby to be born. And then he said, you know, some of us, the baby's already 1 year old. Some of us, the baby's already 2 years old. Some of us, the baby's already 10 years old, but there's not been a pushing, because we're waiting for something to happen, but there should be an active waiting, pursuing the purposes of God. And what I saw this week is to get people saved. We grow spiritually when people are getting saved. Our small group grows when people are getting saved. When there's new people coming into your small group, the spiritual growth of everyone rises. Because you have to go back to the basics. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. You don't get false. You get false prophets. You get false teachers. But you don't get false evangelists. The only sin that evangelists will do is they will lie to get people saved. But, I mean, I think there's grace for that. As long as they get saved. Henny always got very upset with me when I said, Henny, I will lie to someone just to get them into the kingdom of God. He said, you cannot lie, because he's a teacher. He just couldn't believe that I would say something like that. But there should be an active waiting when this baby comes. And this pain that goes with it. But that pain is worth it when that baby is born. There's something amazing that happens when that baby is born. And our lives are never the same again. You're never the same once you've had. The way I looked at my wife just changed completely. Because I realized, phew, this is amazing. You felt some sort of an honor towards her. Because you realized she was made for much more than what we thought to be my wife. She's a mother. And it's an amazing thing for a mother to be born. And what Anton just said as well there is, the doctor could not make a push. He could not make a push. It was a decision that she had to make. Each one of us will have to make that decision. Are we going to push or are we going to wait? Because there's a passive waiting that's not good. But there's an active waiting. And that active waiting causes the promises of God to be birthed. And I'm trusting God for the promises of God to be birthed in all of our lives together, that we can see the goodness of God that will come together in that. So Acts 2:1, they were all together in Pentecost. They were together in one place. There was a togetherness. Suddenly, there was a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house. They were sitting, divided tongues, as fire came upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this week that I saw, many people wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They've been prayed for, but they could not speak in tongues. And it was almost like they were resisting it because of witchcraft, because of the dark things that manifest. And I'm going to share one or two things that I saw, but it is almost like they've been resisting the speaking in tongues. And it's a gift that God has given to us. And it's such a powerful, amazing gift. And Anton asked them to come forward, those of them who has not received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many came forward. Many got prayed for. Then he said, those of you who have received it, but you've not prayed for someone, now come forward. And no one came. So he was like, Owens, where are you? Then some came forward. And then he said something interesting. Who of you have not received the gift of speaking in tongues? And almost everyone hasn't received it. And what I realized, the church there in Africa and here with us, there's two things that will take us away from freedom in Christ. It's either religion, rules. Give me 5 rules or 10 rules and I'll follow those rules. Or it's rebellion. I will do my own thing. I know what to do. But you leave me alone. I will follow Jesus by myself. Just me and Jesus. I don't need you guys. It's like, I'll do my own thing. So what I'm seeing, even there, it's there as well. People want rules. It's almost like we are too lazy to have relationship with God. And what I'm seeing with the cross as well, when you look at Jesus, the cross, there's from up to God, but then his hands is us with people. We cannot follow God by ourselves. We have to be surrounded in family. God has designed it this way, that we grow in our relationship, me to God and us as family. This is what God has designed it from the beginning. So the rules will bring us to a place. I'll just submit. If you just give me 10 things to do, then I'll do those things and I'll do it very well. I'll read my Bible, I'll pray, and I'll come to church. Rebellion again on the other side. Don't tell me what to do. I will do my own thing and then I start my own ministry somewhere on the side. And we cannot come to that place of the fullness that God has called us for, because it's almost like we don't trust one another. to release and surrender and say, I see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because I know and I trust God is good. Even though I don't agree now, I will pray for God that He will be with you. And we can grow in that place that God has called all of us to come to. So there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Where this one girl that brought so many people to Jesus, when she received her tongue, she was crying. And there came a crying of many people that just cried because the first time in their lives they could speak in the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were just speaking in their tongues and they were crying. And I mean, we were there for almost 3.5 hours where people spoke, just crying and speaking in tongues and celebrating. And they were so excited because they've received this gift. And you know, for me, we many times, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues and then it sort of goes away. We don't celebrate this amazing gift that God has given because there's power when we pray in the Spirit. There's amazing power. God releases His power in us when we pray in the Holy Spirit. But this power is to be witnesses. God wants people to get saved. He says, it's good and pleasing to me that all men must be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This is God's desire. This is why He's given us these gifts, that people can be led to Jesus. Verse 37, Peter stands up and he speaks to them and he preaches. And he says, verse 14, first Peter stand up. He lifted up his voice and he addressed them. And he said, men, listen to me. And he started explaining who Jesus was, why He came. And when He was finished, in verse 36, it says, the people that heard it, they were cut to the heart because of the preaching. And we many times say, no, but I must just be an example. If I'm a good example, then people will ask me, why are you so good? Then they will give their hearts to the Lord. Does it work for anyone? Has anyone ever come to you and say, you are such a good example, I want to know Jesus? It came because of the preaching. And I really believe this is one thing where we try to live good lives and no one is good. We cannot live good lives. There is a place where we have to stand up and say, men of Judea. And they were cut to the heart and they said, what must we do? They asked them, what must we do? And Peter said, you must repent. You must be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's three things. Now, Paulson wrote this book, A Natural Birth, that he says, you are born again when you give your heart to the Lord. That's repent. But the process is not complete when you've not been baptized or you've not received the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a part that goes further with that. And I truly, the more I see it, the more I believe what he's saying is true. You go to heaven because you have surrendered. You put your faith in Jesus. There's no, you don't have to worry about that. If you've done that, and it's because of the man that was next to Jesus on the cross. He put his faith in Christ, and Jesus says, you'll be in heaven with me. But I believe for us to grow spiritually, to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what comes first? Repentance. Turning, metanoia, turning to Christ. Then being baptized. And it's not sprinkling of water. It's going under the water and coming out again. And then there is a place where we have to receive the gift of God, where we can speak in the Spirit, where we can prophesy, where the gift of God can come upon us, the power of God, so that we can witness. Because God wants all people to get saved. And then he says, for the promise is for you and for your children. This promise of repentance, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. So this promise is for all of us, for everyone. And this is God's heart. He wants everyone to receive repentance, baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when Anton said it was preached, if each charismatic and Pentecostal person can lead one person to Christ every year, the whole world will be saved in 14 years from now. And Jesus can come back and we can see, we can go to heaven. Praise God. Verse 14 says, and many other words he bore witness. So he was giving witness And he continued to exhort them, to tell them how good God is, and he's for them, and he wants great things for them, and to walk in the fullness of what God had called them for. And then he said, save yourself from this crooked generation. And then verse 41, those who received his word were baptized. So receiving the word, as they believed what he said, they put their faith in God, and they were baptized. And added to that was these, the 3,000 souls. Now, why I wanted to share this with you is there's two things that happened last week that threw me. And some of you will be thrown with the things that I'm going to share now, but I still believe I need to share it, because there's really power. We don't understand always the power that is in the Scripture as God had called him, if we follow it by faith. But the first night, we did an altar call, and let's say about 50 people came forward to be prayed for. About 30 children came forward. The next night, again, people got healed. But the next night, there was this young girl. She was about that size. And her grandmother said she had a stealing spirit. Now, I've never heard of a stealing spirit, but this thing causes her to steal. So as I prayed for her, the next moment, she had a violent, terrible manifestation as this demons inside of her was starting to, it was breaking her apart. And she was falling all over the place. And we tried to pray for her, and I felt devastated afterwards, because I wanted this girl to be free, and I couldn't help her. She came, she was quiet, and Anton came to help her. And at night I said to him, yes, Anton, I don't know what happened. And he said to me, you know, Theo, she still needs a F4. And the F4 means, he means, needs deliverance still. She needs to go. There's a lot that needs to go for. So we, the next day we came there, and the altar call, and people getting saved, and people being healed, and then there's someone, now these people who there's stuff inside them, they need to be prayed for. And there's one girl, she just vomits. here we go again. And so we prayed for her, and she got set free. Jesus set her free. So now I'm getting the courage in Christ again for this other girl, because she's standing there with big eyes waiting for me, for us to pray for her. So we went to her, and as we started praying for her again, the same thing started happening. So now we pray, God, in Jesus' name. But three men couldn't hold her down. She was just so, so strong. So we pray, and we sit on her, and I just, the love of Jesus, you know Jesus loves you. Now, we still have to work through interpreter as well, but just to share with her the love of Christ. But she's screaming, and it's rough. And Anton says, has she been saved? Yes, she came forward. She gave her heart to the Lord. She responded. She prayed the altar call or the prayer with us. So I didn't understand what was happening. And the next moment, I see something like that. And I just know. And I knew what happened. I said to her, I said to Anton, a man appeared to her now. And we stopped, and the interpreter asked her, and then she starts speaking. Wrong. So I said, you must explain to us, what did she say? And he said, her father, she was, she never seen her father, I think only when she was a young girl. And I think there was sexual abuse from the father. So she's never seen him. But she heard that she's now ready to be married to. So he was looking for her in the spirit, because he wanted to get married to her. So when he heard that she was going to, when he felt it, I don't know how he felt it, he came there to disrupt the process, so that she could not surrender to Christ. So I'm like, wow, word, this is amazing. And God just gave me wisdom. Says he could trace her because of the blood, because he's the father. That's why he could trace her. There was something that he had, that she had. That's how he could trace her. So I explained to her, do you understand what it means to be born again? When you surrender your life to Jesus, the old person is gone. The new is there. You now have the blood of Christ in you. You now belong to the Father Abram. The promises of Abram is on your life. And it's not, he will not be able to trace you anymore because of that. And she says, I want to receive Jesus. So we prayed for her. And then we said, we break every spirit, every ley line. God, we command, Lord, we ask you to command your angels to remove the human spirits. Because what she said he came to do with an asachai, tried to stab her. And that's why she was so afraid. Because she saw him. She saw him. Like, I will see you. So she was terribly afraid. Now she gave her heart to the Lord. I'm like, yes. Praise God. God is good. So the next night, we do the altar call again. Here this girl is. I'm like, what happened now? So just after I sent you that message for the leaders, I'm like, what happened now? Not, you are not meant to look the way you're looking because I see this wild look in her eyes. So we pray for her in the next moments. And this time we said, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But this it goes out very quickly. So I just in my heart, she must be baptized. You must be baptized. So we take her in cold water. She gets baptized. The next night she comes again. She's like, God had saved her, completely set her free. That Sunday, she's part of the dancing crowd. She's singing to Jesus. And the other girl, there was a girl, she was a prostitute. She's like, just come and give you hugs. Thank you, thank you. They could not get out of this thing. And what I want to say is, what I realized is, this is not the pastor's job. It's all of us. God has given all of us authority to do this, not the pastors. Because what we were doing, I was standing, we came home at 11, 12 o'clock at night. We were having to stand up at 6 because everyone was waiting for the pastors to finish praying. But no one prayed. They just stood there and looked at us. So Anton's message is the active waiting is that you must get equipped, that you must get strong because God wants to release the promises of God in and through all of us so that God's kingdom can come in this place. But it's not to look at how other people do, it's to get equipped, that all of us are equipped to do this thing. So after this, this girl comes together, they're excited to be part, they're part and they belong. Now, if this girl was by herself, and every time she went home, because that second night when she gave her heart to the Lord, she said someone gave her something to drink and then something to eat, and it was almost like they opened up her head, and they came back in again. So there's a spiritual world that we don't understand. But I just experienced it's real because we couldn't hold that girl down. There was something hectic that was in her that really, it threw me. Even though the one guy that came with us, he said we were very calm. I didn't feel calm in my heart. I must be honest with you. Maybe I look calm, but it helps when Chuck Norris is next to you or a guy that looks like Chuck Norris. and he's got all the experience here already. And so even when we came to the airport, I said, this one, we bought coffee because I haven't had coffee. I ate with my hands and we had cold showers, so it was very amazing. So I got to buy us each a coffee for 20 Rand. And then I said to this girl, you know who Chuck Norris is? She says, yes, it's him, it's Anton. So I said, yes, he's the stuntman for Chuck Norris. Really, really. So it's great to go on missions with him because you can laugh quite a lot. But he just gives a sketch stare. So even when it gets quite rough, he just stares at them and they all leave. Hallelujah. so in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the reading of the word, to fellowship. They came together, fellowship. They were breaking the bread and prayers. They devoted themselves to that. Great awe came upon them. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Many signs and wonders. The key is getting people saved. People want to see new people coming in. If we want to see wonders and signs and wonders, get people saved. You'll see mighty works. Pray, God, use me. I want to see. I want to see. Ask Him, and He will give us the nations. So then verse 44, all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. No one will be able to do this unless you come to that place where you understand and you see and you experience the power of God. If you ask me now, my wife will resist, but I will sell everything now if it needs to because I've seen what God can do. And it's almost like you walk on clouds because you see the power of God. You know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. You can do anything as long as it's in God's will because of what He had said. You won't even have to say to me, what about your pension fund? Because God will provide, because God is good in every way. I trust Him completely because I see how powerful God is. Then verse 46, and day by day they attended the temple together They were breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So people were getting saved. Great wonders were being done. There was an attitude of the heart. It was like, they were excited of what God was doing. They came together in the temple on Sundays and homes. Because there's an accountability that God is wanting for us. So when we give our hearts to the Lord, He wants us to change. And not to do it on our terms, but on His terms. And it's sometimes so easy to do it on our terms. But God is saying, do it according to my word. This is, and we have to hold one another accountable. This is why we come together in small groups, that we can learn and train what God is wanting to say to us, where we can come and say, this area, I'm struggling. Can you pray with me? Can you help me? I want to break through of this. God wants us to be part of the body of Christ. And in that place, there was favor with poor people. So these Christians, they hate speech. They were not getting that. They were getting favor because the Spirit, the power of God is there. Where that power is, people get drawn to that. You cannot resist it. It is too beautiful. It's too amazing. Where God's Spirit is, there's freedom. It's amazing. It's so awesome to be in the presence of God. There's nothing better than to be there. It's the highest high that one can have, is to be in God's presence like that. And people are drawn to that. Even the drunk guys coming saying, pray for me. And the next day they changed. They are changed. God changed them. They're not like drunk and not just was a day. They got changed because God's power was there. God is amazing. So Romans 1 says, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. I'm eager to preach the gospel because there's power. That's where the power is, in the gospel. It's simple. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He wants us to surrender to Him. Count the cost and surrender to Him. Then, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed anymore. Because we many times are so ashamed to tell people, I'm a Christian. But Paul was not ashamed. He was proud. Because he knew who God was, how great, how awesome He is, how amazing God is, how His heart is for the lost, how His heart is for that girl to break her free from this terrible, evil things that is being done to her. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For it's the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then at the end of this letter, he writes again, Romans 15. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. So he will speak to bring people to obedience, to faith, by word and by deed. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. So he says, don't go to the other churches and draw them to our church. Go and keep those who don't know Jesus, go and get them saved. That's where the power is. That's the power of God in that place. And then the word is logos, and it talks about that word speaks about speaking, preaching, reasoning, utterance, talk. That's what logos is meaning. And deed is the word ergon. It's talking about doing labor, work. So there's a labor. And there's a talking to get people saved. And that's where the power of God is from that place. And because of that, the Holy Spirit comes. And the signs and wonders follows those who follows God. So when someone wants to give their hearts to the Lord and they have sickness, pray for sickness that they can come to Jesus. God did not have healing ministries and He did not have deliverance ministries. He just had the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you need healing, pray for healing. If they need deliverance, pray for deliverance. If they're hungry, give them food.
so they can come to Christ. Amen. I just want to pray for us. So I want to just ask you this morning, are you born again? Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus? Are you following God? Have you counted the cost and surrendered your life to Him? Or are you doing it on your own terms? Because the Bible says no one is righteous. Nobody, no one is righteous. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is the result of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. And sin is when we miss the mark. Sin is when we steal, when we kill, when we hate, when there's anger, when there's wild parties, when there's drunkenness. God says when we do those things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says when there's unbelief, when we're cowardly, that is sin. All of that, that cause, that the result of this is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. That whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will be saved and not perish. Then He says, the world is already condemned because they were born in sin. We were all born in sin. But God came so that we can have life and life in abundance. And He says, by His grace, God's grace for us, we are saved. Not because of our works, the things that we do for Him, but because of our faith in Him, our faith in Christ, we are saved. And we will have everlasting life. But it is, we are saved to Jesus Christ for good works. The result when Jesus comes in us is we want to do good things. We want to help the poor. We want to pray for people. We want to see them healed. God can come through us because we are not the old man anymore. I'm a new man in Christ. There's new blood in my veins. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. How do we receive it? We receive it by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth unto salvation. He says, if we believe in our heart, we are justified. If we confess with our mouth, we are being saved. So it's a gift of God. It's a free gift that we can receive. And when we receive it, the Spirit of God comes upon us and it changes us completely. And we all become a new man, a new woman in Christ. Amen. Let's just pray. Is there anyone here this morning who are unsure of salvation? Who are unsure if you stand before God that He will say, come in, my child, because you're not sure if you are a child of God. God says if we are slaves to sin, then we are following our father, the devil. But if He sets us free, we'll be free indeed. If you are here this morning and you know, I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to count the cost. And I want to say to you, there's a price to be paid to follow God. It's an expensive price. Jesus paid with His life for that, for this opportunity to share with Him, to come into covenant with Him. We become new and we have all the blessings of God. But there's a price to be paid and we have to count the cost. Are you prepared to count the cost this morning and to come to Jesus? If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand and I can pray with you. Is there anyone here who wants to surrender to Jesus or make a recommitment to Christ? Is there anyone here? I want to give you the opportunity to respond. Because your life will change forever. It will never be the same again. But you'll have to be bold and say, it's me. I will stand up in front of all these people and say, I want to receive Jesus. I just want to ask you one more time. Do you want to surrender to Christ? Can we stand, please? If you want to surrender to Christ, I just want to ask you to come forward and we can pray with you. Then I want to ask if you struggling to speak in the Spirit, if you're not speaking in tongues, you're not receiving the power of God and you want to receive that gift this morning, I want to ask you to come forward if we can pray with you. If you've been in a place where you are actively or passively waiting for something to happen, but nothing is happening, and you realize today I need to make a change, I need to push, I want to ask you to come forward that we can pray with you. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, that you are God, that you are good. And Father, I want to pray that the things that causes us to resist the call of God in our lives, Lord, the promises of God in our lives, I pray that you will come by your grace to remove it away from us, Lord. That we can walk in the fullness of who you are, Lord. That we can walk in love, in confidence, in faith, in Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray for every person who is here, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that, and I thank you that you love us, Lord. That your love is for us. And I thank you that you have a heart for all of us, Lord. God, I thank you that you want to do healing in our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that the healing comes in following you, Lord. In your presence, there's nothing, God, that can prevent us from walking in the fullness, Lord. Even healing, even bitterness, even unforgiveness, all those things, God. We just want to come before you and we pray that you will remove that, that we can walk in freedom before you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If there's anyone who wants to be prayed for healing, I want to also ask you to come forward that we can pray with you. And then I'm going to just ask the moms for the children's church. If you can, we want to just release you that you can go and pick up the little children. So the rest of us can just sing a song. If there's any prayer requests, we want to ask you to come forward. If you have to go, may God bless you and may the goodness of God be on your life. Amen. Hallelujah.